There's a power for good in the universe, and you can use it.
Today we invite you to join us in listening to a special Easter Sunday program featuring Dr. Ernest Holmes, noted author and spiritual leader in
This Thing Called Life.
Now it is my pleasure to present Dr. Ernest Holmes.
Friends, the greatest hope of man is that he will live forever. Today, countless millions are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, and you and I are going to talk about immortality. Let us see if we cannot enter into the meaning of eternal life as something that takes place here and now. For we are spirits now, as much as we ever shall become. When the disciples of Jesus asked him what is God's relationship to the dead, he answered, "He is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him." Here is a plain and a simple answer from the one who knew what he was talking about, the one who raised himself from the dead and showed himself to over 500 people afterward. Here is a simple but a sublime proof of the immortality and the ongoing of the soul. Unto God the great life, all are alive, for God is life, and life and God mean the same thing. The two cornerstones of the Christian faith are the unique personality of every individual and the immortality of every man's life. Without these, Christianity would merely be a code of ethics. It is this, and heaven too. Life is the gift of God. You and I didn't create it, nor can we destroy it. It is my conviction that everyone will finally arrive at a place of good. It is this hope, this inward assurance that gives meaning to life and courage to endeavor. But immortality should not be thought of as something which is going to take place by and by. Rather, it is something that is taking place right now. For we are spirits now as much as we ever can become. And that spark within us, which is to continue after we have left this world, can be fanned into a divine blaze here and now. One of the great passages in the New Testament asks this question: how is it that the dead are raised up, and with what body? This question has been asked ever since time began. We are so used to thinking that only that is real which we can touch or taste or handle or weigh or measure. It is a little difficult to understand how there could be a spiritual body as well as a physical one. And so St. Paul answers his own question: how is it that the dead are raised up, and with what body do they come? By saying, there are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. For there is both a natural body and a spiritual body. It is this spiritual body that St. Paul refers to that is immortal. Now at long last, science is furnishing us with the proof of what we have always felt by some divine interior awareness. This thing called life is not dependent on the physical body you and I are now using. In experiments conducted for the purpose of proving the higher powers of the mind, it has been demonstrated that even in this life, it is possible to reproduce the activities of the physical senses without using the physical organs. Immortality is not something we purchase. It is the gift of life. And this gift is made to all people, not just to a few. You and I would be the most unhappy people on earth if we believed that we were the only ones who are ever going to be immortal. For there is something about life that demands a sharing of our living with others. We couldn't possibly believe that the spirit enters into only a selected group of persons. As St. Paul said, in the kingdom of God, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, for he has made all people of one blood and stamped upon each a divine individuality which is destined to exist forever. How wonderful is this thought of the ongoing of the human life. Well, did the apostle say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But the skeptic might ask, how can you believe in something that you have not seen? Let us answer him by asking another question. Do you believe in beauty? No artist has ever seen beauty. Beauty is something he feels, and it is out of this feeling for beauty that he creates the object of art. All the biologists in the world have never seen life, and yet this is what they deal with. Psychology, which is the study of mental and emotional actions and reactions, has never seen the mind. Is there any sane person who doubts its existence? And all the physicists on earth who spend their whole time dealing with energy have never seen this energy. But we know it exists. And all the theologians crammed together have never seen the spirit. And yet it is the spirit that quickeneth. Of course, we haven't seen life. Nor have we seen the principle of mathematics or of harmony. No one ever saw gravitational force, but we do not doubt its existence. No, you have never seen the soul. You have never seen the mind, the spirit, or that vital force which energizes your physical body. You have never seen the hope and the faith and the inspiration that stimulates your mind to action. You have never seen that soft and enveloping presence which nestles as close to you as life itself. You have never seen God, that divine intelligence that holds everything in its grasp. But you have felt life because you are life. The well-known scientist, Dr. Robert Millikan, has stated that we have as much evidence of the soul as we have of the atom. There is no doubt in my mind that all people are immortal, nor do I doubt that we have plenty of proof of it. But we are all human beings, and we do long for the touch of a vanished hand or the sound of a voice that is still. But even in this longing, however, there is the hope, there is the assurance that those whom we have known and loved, and all others, still continue their individual pathway amid scenes as real as this. This thing called life has provided for everything necessary to our well-being. When we entered this life, we were greeted with loving hands and tender hearts, which gave us the care we needed until we were able to look after ourselves. And so it will be in the next life. No one ever goes there alone. Most of us have just as many friends on the other side as we do here. And we know that with the dawn, their happy faces smile, which we have loved long since and lost a while. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. Life is an eternal evolution. When we are through with one experience, we enter another, and always moving forward." Jesus did not say, "I am going to come back here again." Rather, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you there, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus plainly taught the progressive unfoldment of every individual. This is the way we should think of our friends who have left this world, not as being less, but more themselves. I sometimes wonder just what our conduct would be if we all actually believed that we really are immortal here and now, that we are living in the kingdom of God now, and that we are going to live somewhere forever. And I am not thinking of this as an idle dream or an empty theory, but rather in the light of a present reality. Wouldn't it give us more faith, more confidence in life? Wouldn't it give us more courage and hope? And wouldn't we really have more human kindness and tolerance if we could see that perhaps everyone, even including ourselves, is doing about the best he can? It is now known that when we look forward to more pain from life than pleasure, the mind begins to destroy the body. We cannot live enthusiastically and maintain the full vitality of youth unless there is some expectancy in the mind, and the same expectancy that we had when we were young. Famous psychiatrist Dr. Carl Jung has said that a belief in immortality is the best possible mental medicine. For where there is nothing to look forward to, there is no hope. Where there is no hope, there is no joy. And where there is no enthusiasm, the wellsprings of life begin to stagnate. But to those who know that life goes on, every day is a fresh beginning, filled with hope and wonder. The thought of death passes completely from their minds, and age no longer hangs heavily over them. And the transition from this life to the next is looked forward to as a great adventure. I believe that the major part of our physical illnesses that are associated with age will eliminate themselves automatically when we come to look forward to the larger life with enthusiasm. And now, we should put all the thought of fear or dread from our minds and live in happiness, each day fulfilling the duties and entering into the joys of living, not as though we were either young or old, but from that broader basis, that we are immortal souls now. And as the thought of age and uncertainty slips from the mind, there comes a new buoyancy to the step, a new lightness to the heart. This is the triumph of the spirit. This is why Jesus said on the eve of his departure, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." There is nothing to be afraid of in God's world, and God's world is the only world there is. There is nothing to die in God's life, and God's life is the only life there is. To understand this is our resurrection. For we are not to be resurrected from the dead. The real resurrection is from the belief that there are any dead. it is this resurrected Christ that we glorify today as we lay a wreath of adoration before the cross of memory. For behold, the tomb is empty, the stone has been rolled away, and the radiant form of the Son of God emerges, clad in robes of light.
Now Dr. Holmes brings you his meditation for today.
My friends, there is a golden key to life, and this key is in your own hand now, placed there by the Infinite. It is up to you to turn this key in the lock of your experience, to open the door of your life to a larger hope and a greater possibility. It is the privilege of all of us to enter into the resurrection today. So let us take this thought for our meditation. He is not here, but is risen. Let us realize that his resurrection is a symbol of the resurrection of all of us. Let us listen quietly, peacefully, and confidently as we commune with that Spirit who is not a God of the dead, but of the living. God is life, and in him there is no death. God is love, and perfect love casts out all fear. As we enter into this life and this love and commune with this divine presence, let us know that we are one with the living Spirit forever. We know that love guides us now. Love guides us always, as it must all people. We enter into divine inheritance today. We know that it is the Father's house where there are many mansions. Today is God's day, and tomorrow will be God's day, and so will all the tomorrows that shall ever come. Love prepares the way for us here, and love prepares the way for us there. We sing the song of eternity. We chant the hymn of the living, for he is not dead. He is risen. Now, as we think of our loved ones who have entered that larger life, we know that they are not dead. They are just away. We know that they walk in the garden of God and waft back to us for sweet rosemary, a kiss from the kingdom of heaven.
There's a power for good in the universe, and you can use it.